Praise the Lord. You feel good in the house this morning? Let's give him a hand clap of praise, a wave offering. Lord, we thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Lord God. Amen, amen. You may be seated. For all those who are, can imagine that things are off center, this is going to drive me nuts. We're off center at the pulpit, I noticed. So, that's how I feel. Amen. It is good. I feel good in the house. Good in the Lord. Amen. Amen. I would be remiss if I did not mention that today, Sister Fiona has been putting up with me for 18 years. Amen. Glory. Continue to pray for her. Amen. Amen. We all need help. Or I need help. She needs help. Glory. But speaking of anniversaries, there's going to be an anniversary that will be started here next year. And we're super excited to announce. If Jacob and Alyssa could stand. Amen. Alyssa hails from the good Las Vegas, if you were here last session. Pastor Jerry is from the bad Las Vegas. This is the good Las Vegas. And they met. If you're going to meet someone, what a way to meet someone on an Apostolic Youth Corps trip to Fiji. Talk about romance. Amen. Amen. That's where they met, and They're engaged to be married next spring, and we're so excited for it. Let's give them a hand clap. Amen. 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 Doing the work of the Lord. Good glory. Amen. Amen. And then finally, we're so excited to have Brother Robert Reed here. He has transferred from Dallas, Texas. And if you just give a wave, amen. And we're excited to have him call CGC home. Amen. So please introduce yourselves to him today. Amen. And then finally, thank you for all those who have embarrassed my dad today. Yesterday was his birthday, and giving him cards. So thank you. Amen. Amen. I appreciate my father. He is here, retired missionary for over 40 years and going to be ministering here shortly. And we're just excited to have him here. And my mom, amen. Amen. Taking care of the boys. Thank you. Thank you. Glory. We had two nights away. It was glorious. Amen. Amen. Jesus. We're excited. If this is your first time here, obviously, we have a lot of fun here at Calvary Gospel Church. You should have received a connection card as you came in. If you didn't, head to the kiosk right outside the doors. We have a small gift for you, just a few points of information on the connection card. Love to connect with you, love to get to know you. If you're worshiping online, you can follow that bit.ly/CGC connection, and we will be in contact with you. And then you can give today. Many options to give online. If you're here in person, there is a plexiglass box at the kiosk. You can give that way. Mail it in. Join on our Church Center app and connect through that, and you can give through that really easy, quick, and efficient. So give unto the Lord. Amen? Amen. Just a few announcements, as was mentioned earlier, but there's a men's outdoor service this evening at 6 p.m. This is taking place at Brother Marvin's house, Reverend's house. Amen. And Brother Ty and Eric Seidel are going to be speaking this evening. So you don't want to miss that. Amen. Amen. And so 6 o'clock at Marvin's house, and bring something to grill. They'll have the grills hot and ready for afterwards, and be prepared to hang out. Amen. Next Sunday, is June 19th, is our Father's Day service in the 11 a.m. service, 10 a.m. will be our classes, 11 a.m. we're going to be celebrating dads, so come on out. We'll have a drawing for some steaks or something like that. We'll see what Pastor Peter cooks up as far as the drawing. So come on out. We just want to celebrate dads. We're going to hear from some great speakers next Sunday. And then this next Saturday, our Take Aim Connection Group is hosting a CPR certification class. So if you are interested in being CPR certified, our very own Brother Jordan Powell teaches this class. Amen. And you will be certified for CPR. Begins at 9 a.m. The cost is $30. You can see Brother Kirby Waters. Are you here, Kirby? He's gone. Okay. Well, you can't see Kirby, but Brittany, right here. You can see her. And she can give you Kirby's phone number. but at $30 next Saturday, 9 a.m., and that's going to be held in the fellowship hall. Amen. And speaking of our connection groups, we've got many interest-based groups here at Calvary Gospel Church. I want to encourage you to get involved, whether you're a young mom or a mom. We've got old guys who enjoy breakfast. Amen. The out-of-control breakfast bunch. Amen. They meet monthly. Amen. We've got car enthusiasts, hikers, board gamers. I actually just got a message. I'm going to call him out. Brandon Matt. Oh, something about Jacob and his marriage. Congrats, Jacob. Huh. He just messaged in the board gamers group. Sorry, Brandon, I called you out. Yeah. He's connected to Church Center in church. Is that legal? Is that, you know, approved by the Lord? I don't know. But you can connect to board game groupers or gamers. We meet once a month. It's a lot of fun. But you can download the Church Center app, look for Calvary Gospel Church, search for a group, get connected. There's folks who love to cycle, who love to hike, all kinds of things. If you don't have a smartphone, you may, well, I'm out of it. No, just go to cgcmadison.org, and you can follow the link for Church Center, and then you can look for groups, and you can do everything on the web. So you don't need the smartphone, but it is, if you have one, download it. See me if you have any questions, need any help navigating that. With that, let's stand. Amen. We want to go before the Lord in prayer. Pastor Roy and Sister Lois are out of town. They're in prayer to Sheen, celebrating the 25th pastoral anniversary of Brother Scott Jacobs, our presbyter in this section. And so they're ministering there this morning. Amen. And so we want... we want to pray for them. We also want to continue to pray for Sister Stephanie. She's at UW Hospital this morning, and want to continue to pray for her and believe for her, as well as Sister Christina and Sister Pam and all those who have been facing and battling sickness. We're with you and believe with you. Amen. Binding together as a body. Amen. Anybody else got a need you want to indicate by a lifted hand? Yes, all over this place. Let's just go before the Lord in prayer. Call a brother or sister's name out that you saw their hand lifted this morning. We thank you, Jesus. We glorify you, Jesus. We're grateful, God, we can call on you, that you're a big, big God, Lord Jesus, God. You can do all things, Lord God, no matter how insignificant we may think it is or how great we may think it is, Lord. You can do all things. You care for us, Lord God. We learned in our adult class, Lord God, that, Lord God, the overlooked, Lord Jesus, you are looking upon them, Lord, with compassion, with care, God. And so, Lord, this morning we bring every need, Lord Jesus, to you, God. You know every situation indicated by a lifted hand. We pray you minister, God, in a mighty way, Lord. Bring comfort, bring strength, bring healing, bring an answer, God, Lord Jesus, God. Bring hope, Lord Jesus, to our lives, God. We pray for Sister Stephanie and Christina and Pam, Lord God. We pray healing touch, Lord God, upon their bodies, Lord God. We're believing for a miracle. We're believing for healing, Lord Jesus. We trust in you, God. We believe in you, Lord Jesus, God. We're so grateful for you, Lord God. In Jesus' name we pray. Hallelujah. Let's go. Let's worship together with our team, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Church,
to be salt and light in the world, in the world. To be salt and light in the world. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Say so, say so.
Come on.
Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Let the redeemed of the Lord. Church would arise, oh, that we would see with Jesus' eyes, we could show the world heaven.
What does it mean?
Show what it means to be His, to be formed in His likeness, show them they have a purpose.
And we have a purpose, hallelujah.
To be salt and light in the world, in the world. To be salt and light. Lord, say so, say so, say so.
And shout it out.
light to the world. To be salt and light
to the world, in the world.
To be salt and light in the world.
To be salt and light
in the world, in the world, in the world, in the world, in the world. Let the redeemed of the Lord rise up. Let the redeemed of the Lord rise up. Let the redeemed of the Lord rise up. Rise up, rise up. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Say so, say so.
God, we're here to see victory, Jesus. We're here to seek your face, Father. We worship you, Jesus. Oh, just clap those hands. We praise you, Father. We're here for you. We're here for you. Lift up your voice and sing for joy.
Clap your hands, make a joyful noise.
Blow the trumpet and shout.
Come on and
praise him for the victory.
The weapons we use.
The weapons we use and the bombs and guns.
And worship is the way that the battle is won.
This is the way we fight.
Come on and
praise him for the victory.
So lift up your voice.
Lift up your voice and sing for joy. Clap your hands, make it joyful.
Come on and blow the
trumpet and shout.
And shout Jesus.
Praise him for the victory.
The weapons we use and our bombs and guns.
Worship is the way that the battle is won. This is the way that we fight.
Come on and
praise him for the victory.
Every knee shall bow.
Every knee shall bow. Every tongue confess
that Jesus Christ,
Jesus Christ is Lord forever.
Sing, every knee will bow.
Every knee shall
and
bow.
Every tongue confess.
Every tongue confess
that Jesus.
Weapons we use and the bombs and guns.
This is how we win the victory.
The battle is won. This is the way that we fight.
Come on and
praise him for the victory.
Oh, lift up your voice.
Lift up your voice and sing for joy. Clap your hands, make a joyful noise.
Blow the trumpet and shout.
We praise you.
Praise him for the victory.
We praise you for victory.
The weapons we use and the bombs and guns. Worship is the way that the battle is won.
This is the way.
This is the way that we fight.
Come on and
praise him for the victory.
Sing, I can't stop.
Can't stop praising his name. I just can't stop.
I don't want to stop.
Name,
I praise you, Jesus.
Praising his name.
Jesus. I just can't stop.
Praise!
praise you for victory.
Praise him for the victory.
We praise him for victory.
The weapons we use are our bombs and guns. Worship is the way that the battle is won.
This is the way we fight.
This is the way that we fight.
The way we fight
about. Praise him for the victory.
Lift up your voice and sing.
Lift up your voice and sing for joy. Clap your hands, make a joyful noise. Blow the trumpet and shout.
Come on and
praise him for the victory.
We praise you, Jesus.
The weapons we use and our bombs and guns. Worship is the way that the battle is won.
Something to shout about it right now. Oh, we thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Lord. Amen. We thank you, Jesus. Amen. God is so good. He is sovereign. Amen. Amen. If you're in there like, man, life is horrible right now, well, let me tell you, God is sovereign and He is with you. Amen. You are not alone. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Hallelujah. I feel God in this place. Lord, we thank you. Let's one more time just lift our hands to Him. Clap our hands to Him. We thank you, Jesus. Speak to our hearts this morning through your word, God. Speak, Lord Jesus, Lord, to the core of our being this morning, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen. Well, it is my honor to introduce a man that I've known for 43 years. Amen. On March 30th, 1979, I met him for the first time and said, "Father, is that you?" Amen. I'm teaching my kids British accents. Anyways, random story, Father's Day story. Father. But I was born in Greece, Athens, Greece. Not the frying pan Greece, but the country Greece. And why? Because my parents were missionaries. Amen. They served as missionaries, career missionaries, for over 40 years to the nations of Greece and then Germany. As a church, Calvary Gospel Church has supported them. I forgot to ask the date, but it has been much of that time. That we have supported 35 years Calvary Gospel supported them up until they retired. Amen. And you would think a man and woman who would retire to Florida would just be driving in here on golf carts and just praise God. But no, they are at 75 and soon to be 80. They are trucking along, ministering. They drive up this way and they like preach all the way up. All the way down, and they're helping my brother plant a church there in the Tampa area. And just an incredible man of God. I'm honored to introduce my father, Brother Alan Demas. Come, Dad, and minister to us.
Amen. Thank you. Praise God. You may be seated. And we greet you today, Isto onomatou Isou Christou, avte namen Jesu Christi, en le nom de Jesus, va imia Isusa Christa. Amen. I believe in Calvary. I believe in the gospel. There's only one gospel, by the way, if you need to tell your friends, and I believe in the church. So I believe in Calvary Gospel Church. Praise God. Praise God. And it is always a joy to be in Wisconsin. especially in May and the beginning of June. It's so beautiful. I always feel terrible that we don't live here when we come and visit. Amen. But we can't be everywhere. Amen. And it's always a joy to be with this congregation. And Pastor Roy Grant apologized Wednesday to me for not being here and explained he's helping in that special service. I've said, Pastor Grant, no problem. I'm always complimented when a pastor gives me the opportunity to speak and he's gone, you know, and because I know that means he has confidence in me. Either that or he's on vacation and couldn't find anybody else. Praise God. But he is out doing the work of God today as well. And this week is just exciting that our family can be involved in ministry. Wednesday, Pastor Phil spoke here, and this morning, Pastor Joel spoke in the greater Tampa area of Lithia, Florida. Pray for that new work. We don't have a bunch of Bible Belt Christians in our church. Most of them are Yankees and traditional Christians. And they are slow to respond sometime. Amen. But we are reaching people, and they're coming regularly and being touched by the Spirit of God. And so we're excited about that, and we're glad that my wife and I could be involved in that. My wife began Sunday school teaching in Joel's garage 4 years ago. Praise God. And I do the Bible teaching on Wednesday night. And since retiring, Pastor Phil, I have averaged preaching or teaching 50 times every year. So I guess that's retirement. Praise God. I love to preach the Word of God. Amen. And I'm glad to be with you today. And last week was Pentecost Sunday. But you know what? That's according to the Western calendar. According to the Eastern calendar from Greece and the Orthodox background, today is Pentecost. And so you're going to get Pentecost part two. Actually, it's slightly different. When we were in Greece, we had, you know, four times out of five, two Easters. You know, we had the traditional Catholic Western Easter, and then we had the traditional Orthodox Greek Easter, because you haven't had Easter unless you've been in Greece. You haven't had Christmas unless you've been in Germany. So they're different backgrounds and different emphases. Amen. And as I thought about this a day after being asked to speak, the Lord gave me a thought. Now, mind you, I've got a folder on Pentecost that's at least an inch thick, with all kinds of teaching and preaching. Praise the Lord, Brother Hawks. So good to see you. Amen. I've got another folder on the Holy Spirit that's at least an inch thick. But the Lord gave me a new thought. So I couldn't go to those old notes and those old tried and true notes, Brother Brown. Amen. So I'm going to give you something that is fresh off of the study table. Praise God. And the prayer altar. And we're going to start by reading, guess where? Acts chapter 2. Amen. Because Acts is not just the Apostelgeschichte, the history of the church, the history of the apostles. It's also a pattern. It's an example. It's showing us what should be happening in our day, not just what happened in their day 2,000 years ago. So I'm going to begin from Acts 2, verse 1. When the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. Verse 4, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. Let's all say all. And they began to speak with other tongues, not as they learned in language school, but as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now, I studied German in high school in Minnesota. I studied French for a year in college. So if I'm going to get the Holy Ghost, God's not going to speak to me in German that I've learned or French that I've learned. It's going to be a different language. And for your traditional Christians down the road, I'm here to tell you, I have spoken in at least three different languages that I did not learn, that I did not know, and people understood what I was saying. So don't tell me Pentecost is not true when we speak in God-given Holy Ghost languages. Praise God. Verse 16 and 17, Peter's now speaking, but this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel, and it shall come to pass in the last days, says God, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, not just the Jewish people, not just the Greeks, because the gospel is to the Jew first and then to the Greeks, but that Greeks really means all the Gentiles, everybody who's not Hebrew by birth and religion. And then verse 39, where Peter says in the last verse of his message, for the promise is unto you and to your children and all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Amen. Now, that's going to be our starting point for today. And most of you who are regular members of Calvary Gospel will understand many of the examples or verses that I'm going to use, and some we may just kind of overlook. So my title today is Pentecost Has Come. 2,000 years ago. Pentecost has come. Last week, Pastor Grant preached about it. Somebody received their Pentecost. Some people were baptized, just like is told on the day of Pentecost to do. Pentecost has come. What now? What now? And so we're going to look at what do we do once Pentecost has come. We know from the Old Testament that Pentecost was an Old Testament Jewish feast day. The Jews had not only the Sabbath day, and to your Sabbatarian friends, they are not good Sabbatarians if they're only honoring the Sabbath on Saturday, because the Sabbath law included the seventh Sabbath year. That means they should work 6 years, Brother Seidel, and then not work for another year if they're good Sabbatarians. And when they turn 49, after doing that 7 times 7, on the 50th year, that's a double Sabbath year, so they shouldn't be working year 49 or year 50. Praise God. And those Sabbatarians are good people. They eat healthy, but they don't keep the Sabbath law. No charge. Praise God. Amen. The feast day was not just the Sabbath, but there were three major feast days. There was the Passover, which comes to us in the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. And God passes over our sins because of the blood that is applied, not by a lamb in Egypt, but by the blood of Jesus Christ on our lives when we come to Him in prayer and repentance and forgiveness. And then there was 7 weeks later, and one day, there was the Jewish feast of Shavuot. I don't know how you pronounce it in the Hebrew. I'm not a good Hebrew scholar. And that was the feast of Pentecost, as it came to be known as the Greek. And the Greek Pentecost comes from the Greek word pende. And you've all heard of the pentagon, which is five-sided. And pende is five. Pentagon is five corners. And Pentecost is the 50th day, the 50th day after Passover. And that was done by the Jews for 14, almost 1,500 years. Every year they had a Passover, and every year they had a Pentecost. Amen. And in Jewish tradition, they began to celebrate Pentecost as the day when the law was given by the Spirit of God on Mount Sinai in the wilderness. So even if you're going through a spiritual wilderness, there is something great that could come to you and happen to you by the Spirit of God. Praise God.
And so we come after 1,400 or 1,500 years to this day, which we just read about in Acts chapter 2. And when it came, it was a day. But a day is here today and gone mañana. Amen. This week and this festival is described by Isidore Epstein. And he says that 7 weeks after Passover, the Jews celebrate Shavuot, the Feast of Weeks, the Wheat Harvest Festival. When we have Pentecost, there should be a harvest, Brother Seidel. There should be an ingathering. Amen. There should be more fruit coming in. Amen. Fruit coming in. First fruits coming in. End time fruit coming in. Amen. This festival is now chiefly associated with Israel's spiritual harvest, but also the revelation at Sinai, the giving of the Ten Commandments, and it's become customary. Now, this is what we do not do, but this is what good Jewish people do. This is what Orthodox Jewish people do in Jerusalem, no doubt. It's become customary since the 16th century. It's not in the Bible. It's not commanded to keep awake and spend the whole night of Pentecost in the study of the Torah, the law. So if you want to be a good Jewish Pentecostal, amen, you stay awake all night before Pentecost, and you study the Word of God all night. And then you miss church because you fell asleep. Yeah. Amen. And so Pentecost is a day. It's a feast day. It's a holy day. It's called in the Old Testament a holy call of convocation. Amen. Last weekend, I was at ABI for my 50th class reunion. And back in the days at ABI, Brother Norris, the founder and president for so many years, whenever there was a situation that needed attention, he would call it a four-beller. And all of a sudden, you'd hear the bells ring. Dun, dun. Dot, dot, and you think, who's in trouble now? What has somebody done now? And that was not just a forebeller, but we call it a holy convocation. Amen. And that's what these spiritual feast days are. But this day becomes a prototype of what God wanted to do and to continue to do, to continue in the future from the original day of Pentecost. It wasn't just a day to happen one time. It was something that should continue as a type, a pattern, a shadow. Amen. It's not just history. And Pentecost, as we understand it in the New Testament, is not for one day a year. Amen. For one day in the Old Testament. It's not a one-type experience, but it's a continuing experience. I'm sorry that the Wallaces could not be here. They're going to visit his mother in the nursing home. But I remember 30 years ago, Missionary Stovall, after we arrived in Germany, wanted to do an outreach in Berlin, and we had a military group there. And Sister Linda, now Wallace, amen, was in that group. And so we arranged a couple services, and we went to the big city of Berlin. Amen. I thought I got away from that in Athens when we went to the small city of Bonn, which is about the size of Madison. And we lived in a village on the outskirts of Bonn on the Rhine River. But the big cities need the gospel too. And so we went to Berlin. And we passed out invitations and passed out flyers. And the military group invited their German friends. And we found a hostel to stay at. And I don't remember if it was a student hostel or a Christian hostel. May have been Christian. And it had a little chapel associated with it. And then we all stayed in these small rooms, you know, that weren't very comfortable. And then they gave you breakfast and they gave you supper. Now, I say that because I mentioned that Pentecost is an experience. But I learned in Germany there's two words for experience. There's the word das Erlebnis, which is a one-time experience. And then there's D, not neuter, but feminine, die Erfahrung, which is a continuing experience. So if you drive the same way to church or the same way to work or the same way to school, that's a continuing Erfahrung all the time. You're used to it. If you're like the Germans and you go to the same place on vacation for 20 years in a row, that's an Erfahrung. Amen. If you go somewhere once in your life, that's an Erlebnis. And so at this pension in Berlin, for supper, not breakfast, for supper, they had Zimpfeier. And Sister Martha, it is exactly what it says. Mustard eggs. We had hard-boiled eggs in mustard sauce. And folks, that was a one-time experience. I've never had them again. I don't ever want to have them again. But I want more of Jesus. I want more of Pentecost. I want more prayer. I want more praise. I want more ingathering. I want more people in the church to fill up the empty chairs and the empty pews, praise God. And so we want to look at what Pentecost was and what it relates to us now. We've already said that it was a day when the day of Pentecost was fully come. Amen. But we are not limited today to just a day or a specific time. We may assemble at a specific time, but it's a continuing experience. I'm from old time Pentecost when we had church on Tuesday night, Bible study on Thursday night. We had youth meeting on Friday night. The ABI students had a meeting on Saturday night. We had Sunday morning, Sunday school, and church. We started at 10, and we didn't usually get out till almost 1. And we weren't even in a church that had dinner on the grounds. Some of you know about that. And then we come back Sunday night at 7 o'clock for prayer, church at 8 o'clock, hit the altar at 10 o'clock, and even without the Holy Ghost, I never left the altar before 20 minutes of praying. Pentecost isn't just an instantaneous experience. It's something that will continue. And when it gets down on the inside, it's burning on the inside. We used to sing about keeping the prayer wheel turning. Amen. When you get in a season of prayer, it's not just a lay me down to sleep prayer. It's not just an instant prayer in 68 words or less, but it's a continuing experience. And you can get lost in prayer. Hallelujah. Because Pentecost is not just a day, but it is a continuing experience. And it is not just for last week on the calendar, but it's for this Sunday and next Sunday. In fact, you don't even have to wait till Sunday. I remember when Pam Fitros came to our church on Sunday. Tessa had witnessed to her 4 years before. But when Tessa and John Blackmore, who are Greek British couple, had a baby with Down syndrome, Pam came to console Tessa. And in that consolation, Tessa began to witness again. And that week, amen, Pam came on Sunday. She heard the gospel. She felt the touch of the Spirit of God. And she went home on Monday. And in her bathroom on Monday, she received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. With the evidence that God gave. You don't have to wait till Sunday. Amen. God gave us a good Christian man who came to our church for a number of months in Lithia, where our son is the pastor. And Kevin had been around a so-called Spirit-filled church for some years, but he never got the Holy Ghost in that church. He came to our church. He began to hear more about the Word. Pastor Joel began to talk to him and teach him. And one night, he couldn't sleep. One night in the bed, he began to pray. And one night there, he just began to open up and speak in a brand new heavenly tongue. Daryl Winicky came to Camp Galilee in Minnesota, and hearing the gospel, invited by his friends, he came to the camp meeting. He prayed at the altar. He went home, and the next day or two on the bus, he received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Pentecost is not just for Sunday. It's not just for 10 o'clock on Sunday. It's for whenever God reaches your heart and touches you. Pentecost was a promise. Promise doesn't start on the day of Pentecost. Peter gives us a promise in Acts 2:39, and many of you know that. But the promise starts in Isaiah. The promise continues in Jeremiah. Ezekiel says, I got to talk about the promise too. And then Joel tells about the promise in Joel chapter 2, verse 28. It shall come to pass. Not maybe. Not if the weather is nice. Not if we've got a nice church building to go to. Thank God, Africans, amen, don't worry about that. We started our church in Athens, and God gave us a house to live in. Not to live in, well, it's a house to live in, but he gave us a church to have fellowship in. Most of the Greek Protestant churches were in a office building on the seventh floor or the fifth floor or the third floor. Storefronts are next to nosy Greek neighbors. And I didn't like either of those ideas. And so I said, God, you got to give us something. And we found a house. And the lady had moved out. And two rooms in the house became a chapel for 60 people. We recycled those chairs, amen, I don't know how many times. We had a little office, which one of our helpers lived in for a year or two. We had a kitchen. We had a library conversation corner. And we started the church in a house. So the lady came to our church and she said, do all your churches meet in houses? I said, well, no. I said, we have little churches in America. We have big churches in America. We have, you know, churches under the tree in Africa. You know, we have people in storefronts. We have churches in former movie theaters. You know, the building is not the important thing. The important thing is the promise and the gathering where two or three come together. So Peter gave the promise, but Joel says, it shall come to pass afterwards that I will, God will, pour out my spirit upon all flesh. There's the all again. And your sons and daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall see dreams. And your young men shall see visions. You see, there's a difference between a dream and a vision, Brother Seidel. The old men get the dreams, but they think, I can't implement it. My knees aren't good enough. Amen. I don't have enough strength. Amen. I can hardly get out of bed in the morning. And so the old men are still going on with God. And they dream some dreams. And the young men come along. And they say, I'm going to take that dream from the elder. And I'm going to make it a vision. I'm going to make it something to accomplish. I'm going to go further. The elder saw it, but he couldn't accomplish it. Amen. Jesus saw what he was going to do to build the church. But he said to his disciples, to his apostles, now you go out there and you do the actual building. And he trusted them to do the rest of the story. So Pentecost was a promise as described here. Amen. Verse 29, and among the servants and handmaidens, in those days I will pour out my spirit. And verse 32, and it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be delivered. Holy Ghost-filled people should understand the name of the Lord. Which is not Yahweh anymore. It's not Yahweh anymore. Yahweh has become our Savior. Yahweh has become our salvation. Now, some of you know Phil Demas. Some of you know Phil Demas' dad. But you don't know my grandpa Demas, who was Aristides Koutsoudimos. And when he came to America, he changed his name from Aristides Koutsoudimos to Harry Demas. And when God became our Savior, he came, changed his name from Yahweh, the Old Testament covenant name, to Jehoshua, which is Joshua, which is Jesus, which is Oiesus in the Greek. Praise God. The name is Jesus in the New Testament only, praise God. And so true Pentecost is a revelation of the name. It's interesting. When you look at early Pentecost in America, amen, you'll see that people received the Spirit, but there was also a revelation of the name that God was trying to reveal to people, not all of which accepted. So Pentecost was a promise, not just in the Old Testament, but from John the Baptist, from Jesus himself. And throughout the book of Acts, as we read from Acts 2:39, the Holy Spirit is a promise. And look at it for yourself. Get into your book of Acts. Go to a Bible concordance and start reading about the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, not just in Acts 2, but down in Acts 4, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 15, 19. The Holy Ghost was Pentecost for the first century of the church, beginning from Jerusalem and then going out to the uttermost, fulfilling the words of Jesus in Acts 1:8. Pentecost was also a gathering, as we've mentioned. On that day, the people gathered together. Amen. In fact, in that Old Testament promise, that Old Testament feast, they had two loaves of bread and they would wave those loaves of bread. Now, this wasn't communion. But the two loaves of bread was a type of what God wanted to do. He wanted to bring in not only a Jewish bride into his New Testament church. He was going to bring in a Gentile bride. He was looking forward to an international gathering. Praise God. That's why Calvary Gospel Church is not just Scandinavians and Germans. It's for Italians, it's for Portuguese, it's for Hispanics, amen. It's for African Americans, it's for people from Sudan, it's for people from all around the world, amen. And you may not realize it, but right now, some of the internationals and more in America are more responsive to the Word of God than the typical American Anglos, amen. So we need to go out where the sinners are, as T.L. Osborne says, and we need to invite them. It doesn't matter what color they are. It doesn't matter their language or their accent. They're people made in the image of God, and God wants to bring them in. When we started the Crossroads with help from your church and Wisconsin, we started with Anglo-Americans. But my goal was not just Americans, because those American military embassy people, they could come to America and hear the gospel back in America. My goal was to reach the student community. My goal was to reach internationals. And in the 12 years that we were there with that church congregation, amen, 15 appointed to Greece entirely, amen, we saw people come from 80 different nationalities, and we saw people baptized in water and spirit and both in the name of Jesus from 40 different countries. This gospel is for whosoever will, because it's intended to be a gathering. When I grew up, Pentecost was for the Pentecostals. But then something happened about 1963 or 64. Catholics in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania began to receive the Holy Ghost. And that began the Catholic charismatic renewal. And the Lutherans said, well, if you Catholics can get it, why, then we ought to be able to get it too. And Lutherans in Minnesota began to get the Holy Ghost as well. Pentecost is not just for one group of people or another group of people. It's for all denominations. Praise God, praise God. God is looking for an international church, praise God. But how did it start? And how will it continue in our day? Pentecost began in prayer. He taught his disciples how to pray. They asked how to pray. What were they doing when they got the Holy Ghost? I've never heard of one person getting the Holy Ghost on the deer stand, even though that's possible. I've never heard of one person being baptized in the Holy Spirit, Brother Seidel, while they are out fishing for sockeye salmon or largemouth bass. Though it's possible, but most people receive the Spirit when they're in an attitude of prayer, when they're alone with God, And you can be alone with God with 100 people around you. Praise God. Because you're not thinking about what they're saying or what they're praying. You're just thinking about your Lord and Savior who died for you and forgave your sins. And he wants to give you a gift to welcome you in the body. Praise God. Maybe you weren't born in this body, but you could be adopted in, as Paul wrote to the Romans, because in the Roman day, they were big on adoption, praise God. They were praying when the Holy Ghost came in Acts chapter 2 and Acts chapter 4, amen, they were still praying. And it's interesting, I do want to look at that very quickly, Acts 4 and verse 29, they were in trouble, and the disciples had been down with the Jewish leaders, and they had been in prison. And they come back, and when the people hear it in verse 24, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord. They're continuing to pray in verse 29, and now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant to thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word. Verse 30, by stretching forth hands to heal, and signs and wonders may be done by the name of your holy child Jesus. And when they had prayed, nobody could hear a word. No, that's not in any translation. When they prayed, the place was shaken. Where do you think the Shakers got the name Shakers from? They were the shaking Quakers. And where do you think the Quakers got the name Quakers from? They were quaking under the inspiration. They didn't know what it was. And unfortunately, they lost what it was. Amen. But when the people are praying in one accord together, reaching up to the Almighty God, amen, something's going to happen. Amen. That may, amen, close your ears. Amen. It may open your ears. God will fill you with the Holy Ghost, just as it says in verse 31, and you too will speak the word of God with boldness. And when you speak in a brand new tongue, you're speaking the words of God, not your own. Praise God. Pentecost is prayer and worship, and as we've heard, the praise brings the victory. Praise God, praise God, praise God. What's Pentecost now? Pentecost was power. And that's a whole nother message. Jesus said, you shall receive the Holy Ghost, and you shall receive power to witness. But Pentecostal power is not just power to witness. It's for multiple purposes. It's like the word dynamis, which is the power word in Acts 1:8. We get the word dynamite from the Greek word dynamis. But dynamite is not a continuing experience. It's a one-time experience. You blow off the dynamite, you don't have any more dynamite. You got an explosion, pop, power, noise, amen, destruction maybe, one time. You got to have more dynamite to do it again. But when you get the power of the Holy Ghost, it's a continuing experience because it gives you power to speak in a brand new tongue. It gives you power to walk right, power to talk right, power to live right, power to witness, power to lay hands on the sick and they shall recover, power to cast out demons, praise God. I don't know if you got any demon specialists here at Calvary Gospel Church, but we live in a bad world. And some of you need to be ready to cast out demons when necessary. And you can't do it by yourself, but you do it by the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. That power will bring the fruit of the Spirit. It'll bring the gifts of the Spirit. It'll help you to live godly and righteously. And that power, even beyond the grave, is resurrection power. Don't weep for me when I'm gone. Now understand, I'm not looking to do that. I get upset some of my friends on Facebook when somebody has passed away, and they say, oh, I'll be joining you soon. I'm thinking, that's not my wish. That's not my goal. Amen. I let God take care of the day. But I want to live for God. I want to do something for God today. Amen. And if I die, I know there's resurrection power. But until I die, I want to have power in the Holy Ghost to talk right, live right, and tell people who Jesus is. Pentecost was not just an explosion of power and praise. It was always teaching and preaching. They asked Peter, what is this that's happening? We don't understand it. And Peter started talking to them from the promise of Joel 2, but then he couldn't keep talking about just the power. He says, by the way, before I could tell you more about the power, before I could tell you about the Spirit, I've got to tell you who Jesus is. I've got to tell you who Jesus is. He's both Lord and Christ. Amen. He's the Son of David. And David's tomb is right over here. And Jesus is the Son of David. But Jesus is not in a tomb anymore. He's resurrected from the dead. Praise God. So the Holy Ghost will give us power and understanding. It'll give us anointing to preach and anointing to teach. I feel sorry for some of your friends who are listening to radio preachers that are not one God, Jesus' name, Holy Ghost filled. Because the best radio preacher you could find is a Holy Ghost preacher full of the Holy Ghost and fire. Praise God. We've got to have the Spirit of God to anoint our preaching. And I remember when we had just 6 or 8 or 10 or 12 people on Wednesdays in Athens on Wednesday night. But I felt the anointing of the Spirit of God just in the teaching of the Word of God. Because it's not my words, it's His words that brings understanding, and we've got to have His Spirit to anoint them. Pentecost, what about it now? It's for you. It's for your children too. It's for your neighbors too. It's for the overlooked and underlooked, Brother Simmons. We need to pray for our generation, because one of the greatest needs in our generation is a positive self-esteem and complex. Most of our recent shooters, the problem was they had a negative, poor esteem. They felt overlooked. They felt rejected. Many of them didn't have dads. The devil has just tried to destroy the American family, and he's doing it. And we've got to be the family of God to bring in the spiritual orphans and tell them there's plenty of room in the family. When they come and visit us, then 1, 2, or 3 of you need to become their friends. Amen. Meet them for coffee. Invite them to your house. Amen. Give them an informal Bible study, if not a formal one. Because the more friends that people have in the church, when they come into the church, amen, the better they will stick. If they have nobody in the church saying, praise the Lord, I love you, bro. Love you, sister. Good to see you. Glad to have you here this Sunday. Amen. If nobody recognizes them, they'll go out there and they'll say, well, that's not a friendly church. Even though they never tried to be friendly, some of them don't know how. But they need us to be their friend, to be their brother, to be their sister, and to bring them into the family of God. Pentecost is all of the above and more. Pentecost, what now? Well, the altar's open. And if you want to receive a little more of the Ghost, if you want to receive a little more of His divine Spirit, if you want to reach out to His love, to His mercy, to His forgiveness, there's plenty of room in the family, and there's room at the altar. Let's stand, shall we? And let's reach out to the loving Savior who gives us these wonderful Pentecostal blessings. Lord, we love you and we thank you for the gospel. The gospel has brought us to the day of Pentecost and brought us to the church of Pentecost. You brought us not just to a building, but you brought us to an experience. You brought us to yourself. You brought us to yourself because your spirit is yourself that you give to us, and you give us a portion of yourself. Let's come forward and pray and reach out to God. Maybe you received the Holy Ghost before, but have you had a renewing in recent days or recent weeks? Just reach out to God, because the Spirit is a life-flowing river. It's rivers of living water, and God will speak through you again. He will touch you again. He will give you new direction. He will give you confidence. He will give you hope. He will give you the victory that you need. Hallelujah. He's your Savior. He's your Lord, and He loves you today. Amen. On Second Pentecost Sunday. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, divine, 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 divine.
Fullness of joy. Hallelujah.
Their kingdoms are standing.